as we call it, it is a school. And I want to let you know that each time we come before the presence of the Almighty God, He has something to teach us. As we come into His presence this morning, Jesus has something to teach us. So let's get settled in our seats and hear what God has to teach us this morning. Praise the Lord. Last week we looked at the nature of God. And this morning we are going to be looking at the Bible. That is the book we carry with us. And is the book we, as children of God, we depend on. We are going to learn some things about the Bible this morning. And my intention is to, as much as possible, keep within the 30 minutes allocated for this period. So please, let's be attentive. Let's pray. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you because you are God. And we know that everything we are going to do this morning is as you have ordained it. We just pray, oh Lord, that you will have your way here in Jesus' name. Whatever you want us to know is what we will know. Lord Jesus, more than any man can explain, you will expand the words in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us yourself, O Lord, Holy Spirit of God. And by the time we leave this place, we'll be the richer for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we talked about the nature of God last week. And I'm sure we learned a lot. The actual intention was to have us talk about the new creation today. But because of the communication between I and the guy who prepares the bulletin, because we did number 2, he just simply went to number 3. And when I thought about it, I just said, well, thank God. I think it's good. When we talk about the God we serve, I think the next thing we actually need to talk about is His Word. And then, when we know the authority in His Word and what it stands for, then it then naturally leads to us getting born again or becoming a newly created person. Because if you just come and you don't have this understanding, you are likely to struggle. So by the grace of God, we are going to look at the Bible. And as we have in our bulletin, we are told that the Bible is God's will made known to man, so we can live His way and receive His blessing. It's God's way made known to man, or God's will. What's God's will? The will simply means the outcome He wants, His plan, His purpose, His intentions, they are made known to us. Sometimes we also use the word will to mean inheritance, you know, the testament. So, it's God's inheritance. It is how we can get to inherit God's inheritance and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is about this morning. So let's quickly open our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Does somebody want to say what that tells us?
Do your best to present yourself to God as one of those, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of God.
Praise the Lord. So he said, do your best. What is your best? Your best includes exerting yourself, usually beyond what you would do ordinarily. Say, do your best. to present yourself approved to who? To God. So, in other words, there's a link between how much of the Word of God we have within us, know, and understand, and our approval by God. So there is a link there. And it says we do not need to be ashamed of it. Because it says we should rightly divide it. And remember, I showed us that that word rightly divide is also found in Proverbs as a guide. Now, so if we rightly divide the word of God, it will guide us. So, it is very crucial that we hold the word of God dear to us. So, we are going to look at a few things. One, as we've been encouraged here, that we learn what the Bible says, as we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Can somebody read that for us? Okay. Praise the Lord. I think some aspect of this can be missing a lot in our Christian diet. When we look at what the Word of God is supposed to do, is that what the Word of God is doing in our lives? Because let me read in another version, Amplified, just to so we get the essence of the Word of God. Sometimes we present the Word of God in a way that is skewed, that is tilted to one side. And I've always emphasized the need for balanced diet with the Word of God. And we are told what the Word of God is to do in our lives. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Let me just read from this version. You see, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and actions, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we are going to be God, what God wants us to be, we need the word. But more importantly, because it's a basic class, it's a foundational class this morning, one word that I want us to know, to take home, is the fact that it says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Is that the word of God is inspired by God. Now, there have been studies, there are many theories, because many of us don't bother to ask questions when we talk about inspiration. You know? And there are many theories about how the word of God has been inspired, or how people have been inspired to speak the word of God. And I'm sure this is in the realm of what Justin would generally teach. And there are about four theories. You know, I just decided to brush it up this morning. You know, there are about four theories. The so-called neo-orthodoxy, the dictation theory, limited inspiration, and plenary verbal inspiration theories. The first one talks about transcendency, that God is, you know, God is too holy, is such a spirit that he will not speak to us at all. You know, that we just get to know what his mind is. So, but the evangelical one says that the word of God, it accords with 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 7, that every word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. Every word of God is what? Holy Spirit inspired. Some believe that the word of God was actually dictated, that the dictation theory, that God actually spoke the word and people wrote it down. But when you look at the Bible, you find out that there are instances when God actually spoke the word and asked people to write it down. God will tell them what exactly to say. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 2. For example, Jeremiah 26, verse 2. Because it's a basic class. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, Jeremiah, and speak to all the people of the cities of Judah who come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, subtract not a word. So, in other words, God actually gave him what to say, and he said, don't remove anything from it. Okay? Now, look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 8. This is supposed to be a teaching, isn't it? Please, let's leave it there. Unto the angels of the seven church of Ephesus, do what? Write these things. You know? So, dictate. Put it down. So, you may not know how the Bible has come to you, but you are learning this morning. Praise the Lord. And this is why some people who don't come early miss. You know, when they come in, they don't get the teaching. And when you don't get teaching, you behave anyhow. Because you don't even know the word of God. If you don't stay under the teaching, if you don't know what the word says, you just come in and walk out, and you are the same. Of course, in the case of limited inspiration, some people believe that it's just a form. You know? That people just get an impression. And on the basis of that, they actually speak. But one thing we need to know is this. Is that God takes his words very, very seriously. And he would not just leave it to the whims and caprices of man. Because he means what he says. And he says what he means. So that we will have no excuse. And lastly, the plenary verbal inspiration theory that says there is a full or complete God's guidance, inspiration of the word from Genesis to Revelation. And that it includes the choice of words that are used. So, and this is the one I want to strongly believe. That everything there was that God has written is not without a purpose. It's not without a guidance. Because God will not just, he doesn't throw his words around. What did Jesus say? He said, for every careless word, every misplaced word, every word that is not well spoken, fitly spoken, he said, will give account. So, God is so particular about words that are spoken. So, these are some of the beliefs as to how the word of God has come to us. So, but the Bible makes us to understand that every word is Holy Spirit inspired. Praise the Lord. So we're encouraged from the bulletin to be familiar with and know how to use the word. In other words, there are some things that will aid us in our study of the word. Remember that this is a foundational class. Okay, so we're talking about these things. It's a foundational class that Those of us who have not been using our concordance before, or we don't readily use our concordance, we're encouraged to use our concordance. A lot of our Bibles have concordance. So we can look at it. You know, usually when your Bible is written, you have either letters or words, letters or numbers written, you know, close to certain words. So you can go and look it up. Some will have it in the middle or by the side. You can look up and look at other areas of the Bible, you know, that tends to say the same thing. You can look it up. And then you also, as part of your concordance, you also have the opportunity to go to the back of the Bible. Usually it comes at the back. And look at words, certain words that stand out in the passage, you know, and look at references for it. Other places where you can find such. So that way you can actually go on and study, you know, certain things in the Bible. And I think closely related to that is that some of us have topical Bibles. So some Bibles that are written based on some topics. So you can actually go there and look at those topics and just and read which part of the Bible make reference to that or deals with that. So yeah, topical Bible is mentioned here. And of course, there are study Bibles where there are comments and commentaries that follows so that we can make use of them. And of course, the reference Bibles, you know, I use different types. Particularly, I enjoy reading my Dicks, you know. Even though it's in King James Version, I just go back, you know, for my reference and study. You know, and there, of course, there have been many other Bibles that have been written that will be very good for us. What is the name of this man? He's written one very good Bible that I've been wanting to buy now. What's his name? This servant of God who had some difficulties at some stage. He was a televangelist. Jimmy Swaggart. Did you see his Bible? Have you read his Bible? Yeah, very well written. Okay. And Maxwell, for those of us who are leaders in the church, Maxwell Leadership Bible is also very good for us to read. You know, it makes comments and reference to how to apply it to leadership. And they are quite a number of them around. The spirit field is also good. So, praise the Lord. We are to understand that the word is the key to receiving God's benefit personally. Not just personally. If we are going to be a blessing to other people, we need to know the word of God. And as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says that if the man of God is going to be complete and proficient, so you are complete, so you are thoroughly furnished. I like that word. You yourself, you are thoroughly furnished. Amplified says equipped. So you are thoroughly furnished. In other words, everything that needs to be in you will be in you. Is it patience? Is it courage? Is it forthrightness? Is it love? Everything that needs to be in you will be in you by reason of the word of God. And that leads me back to Psalm 1. Remember one day I shared it with us when it says, upon the word of God does the righteous meditate day and night. And it then says that such a man will do what? Will bring forth its fruit in its due season. And I told her what the fruit is. When you are supposed to be angry, you'll be angry. That's bearing fruit. You may say anger is not good. There are some times when you need to be angry with evil. When you need to be angry with evil, you don't sit quietly and enjoy it. Because you know the word. You bear the fruit. When you are supposed to love, you just love. Okay? What you are supposed to love. you begin to bear fruit. When you are supposed to remove yourself from a place, you remove yourself. You do the right thing at the right time. That's bearing your fruit in your due season. And it's the word of God that will ensure that in our lives. So please, we need to take the word seriously. So the word of God is the source of what? Salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jews first and to the Greek." Praise the Lord. So, salvation is in the word. Because Jesus said, "The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." If a new life is going to be created in us, we need the word of God. Faith, of course. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It builds up our faith. Guidance. Psalm 119:105. Guidance. The word of God is a lamp unto our faith and a light unto our path. We will always follow the path of light. Isn't it the natural thing? When in the night, you are not likely to be walking in the direction of darkness. The place where you see light, you want to go there. You want to follow. So when you study the word of God, it shines light to you. And that's where you follow. And I want to let you know that one of the major problems here, in life today, I'm not talking just about where we are in Australia or anywhere else. I'm talking about the world generally. Is the fact that people don't have direction for their lives. That's why you see a lot of people, and this has been shown, a lot of people come to a point and they just commit suicide. And it's been shown that in places where people don't have belief in God, that is more common. But for you and I, we get to a point where we think our intellect, our knowledge has failed us. We hand it over to God. Because the Bible says, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." You just know that you are at the end of your tethers. You know that your knowledge cannot carry you any further, but you know that you have somebody who can take over from where you are stopping. If you don't know the word of God, you will not know your right in Jesus. And the enemy will play around and mess around with your head. It will just confuse you. Have you ever been in a situation that you think you may not never get out of? That you think that, look, this will probably be your end. And then God comes in. And you find out that there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's good to know the word of God. So please. Of course, there is healing. There is also freedom. It sets us free. The Bible says, "He whom the Son of Man has set free is what? Is free indeed." Prosperity. Psalm 1:1-3. Success. In Joshua 1:8. When we meditate upon the word, we receive good success. So in other words, in summary, the sum total of what we need is in the word. And of course, we are told that the word of God is not a dead word, but it is spirit, life, and full of power. It says it is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The spirit gives lives and the law kills. John 6:63, Jesus says, "The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Not only that, I will tell you what else the word of God is. The word of God is a hammer. It breaks into pieces the stones, the rocks of your life. It's fire. It also consumes. Go to Jeremiah. That's what he says. So if there's an obstacle in your life that needs to be consumed, you remember when Jesus was going somewhere and there was a tree. And the Bible says, for it was not the season of the tree to bear fruit, but Jesus went there perhaps that he might find fruits there. And when he got there and he did not find fruits, what did he do? He spoke the word. Huh? And what happened? The following day when they came, the tree had withered and was dead. It's a hammer. It's a bulldozer. Praise the Lord. I think we don't use enough of it. I generally think we don't use enough of it. That's why we're undernourished and malnourished spiritually. God will build us up in Jesus' name. Yes. And this is very important, that it's not just knowing. It's not just the head knowledge. People who have head knowledge of the word of God, they are the people I call people who have been inoculated. You know what inoculation is? It's like vaccination. When they give you that, when you get inoculated, when the real thing comes, it will have no effect. That's why you see a lot of people argue with the word. They have head knowledge. And I used to be like that until God delivered me. I knew words to argue with the people we call SUs. When I was in the university, when people were going to church, I would not go to church. We would stay there. After my friend and I had eaten bread and black beans, we'll be fooled. We won't be able to read. You know how you get drowsy. So we just sit outside there and waiting for, and we'll be commenting on all the brothers and sisters going to church. Because when you come to argue with us, I know a few verses of the Bible with which I will just start to argue. And if you don't know what you are doing, I will be twisting you around. There are people like that who have head knowledge until it connects with our spirit. And we have what? A heart knowledge of it. What is the difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge? A head knowledge is based on reasoning. It's not based on faith. So if you cannot reason and rationalize it, then it's not possible. Right? A heart knowledge believes, even though it has no explanation. It just plunges itself in. And that is the way of faith. Bless the Lord. Let me give you when we use heart knowledge. You see, a young brother sees a young sister. And everyone says, I don't think that brother is for you. You see, when the heart knowledge comes in about that brother, whatever you say doesn't matter. The sister just says, it's him. And everyone says, that brother is not even born again. And you see, that sister says, yes, that is, you know. And that's the way God wants us to be with him. Just trusting him because he has said so. If they ask you, why are you doing this? Because God has said so. You say, you must be foolish. But that's because God has said so. Praise the Lord. So it has to be a lifestyle. Because Jesus says, only those who do his will come into the kingdom. You will get into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And James 1:22 says, only the doers of the word. The what? The doers. Those who make it their lifestyle. And of course, people who act on the word. Because when you believe with your heart, because the Bible says, with the heart, man believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when you believe with your heart, you know, you begin to live the word. You begin to live the word. And of course, it becomes the centerpiece of everything you do. And then, of course, that is how we identify with him. Praise the Lord. And of course, the other aspect of the word we can read. Okay? We can read on our own, which is in the bulletin. What makes the Bible unique? We can read them, you know. And maybe just to comment that the Old Testament in particular was written in Hebrew. And some people say with a bit of Aramaic. And the New Testament, I think mainly with Aramaic, but it then later got translated to Greek. People say between, is it 300 BC or 300 to 200 BC or something like that. So there was a translation to Greek. And Jesus actually, I think people said he spoke Aramaic himself, you know, during his ministry. So these are some of the tidbits you probably want to know. And of course, the uniqueness, you can look at it. It continues to be a book that is relevant. It continues to be a book that is selling. And many of us will know this by how many versions of the Bible we've got. I'm sure some of us probably have about it may range from 2 to 10 or even more. Some have it in audio, some have it in whatever, every form. It just tells you the uniqueness of the Word of God. And no book has been able to match it. And there has been attempts to destroy it, you know that. Particularly when we used to have communism in those areas, in those communist states, there were a lot of efforts made to eradicate the Bible. And in my country, for example, there's this story that many of us probably just heard, like I just heard, that in fact there was a time there was a shipment of the Bible coming in and somebody chose to destroy it, you know. Yet what has happened? What has happened is that the word continued to spread. The word continued to spread. When I was telling Justin about, I was telling him about a particular church in Nigeria that if they had a convention, that in the place they had convention that there could be 3 to 4 million people standing at the same time. He said he never knew it was that big. And I'm telling you, it's not just one. There are places, there's a church that sits about 50,000 people inside, without a pillar inside, and within the vicinity, still worshiping the same place, will sit 250,000 people. That's what God is doing. But that's the same nation where people have made attempt to destroy the Bible. And the Bible just continues, you know, to influence people's lives. It's dependable. It's a word to follow. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Maybe you had questions. Maybe people have asked you some questions about the Bible before. And you didn't know how to answer them. You've preached to somebody or something. And you don't know how to answer them. And you just thought that this would be a forum for you to raise that question, to help you clear a kind of doubt. I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us to provide the right answer. You can ask now. We just have 2 minutes, because as much as possible, we want to keep to time. So 2 minutes. If you have a question about the Bible, we're talking about the Bible today. So please ask your question. Yes. Or if you have comments, something else you want to teach us, please. Okay. Okay. Okay, don't only think, I'm not the author of it, but I can, you know, you can add to it. Don't only believe what you think is in the Bible. What came to my mind was the Berean Christians. The Bible says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because the people in Thessalonica believed the word. But beyond that, the Bereans, when they heard the word, they go home and read the word. And secondly, there are so many common sayings now that people sometimes mistakenly use common sayings and just say the Bible says, because they are so common amongst us, and think that that's what the Bible actually says. For example, people will come out and say, God help those who help themselves. You know, it's a common saying. And people think it's actually from the Bible. I've heard somebody say that. You know, so it's not just what you think. Go search the Bible. And that's what it's all about this morning. And know what the Bible says. Okay. You want to say something more? Praise the Lord. Any other thing? Please. Question about the Bible? Maybe somebody has asked you before and you just want to. It's a good forum for us to share things. So when you go out there and you minister to somebody. Amen. Another question that people often ask, which I think Jonathan wanted me to comment on the other time, is that will God also judge those who don't know the Bible? When we go to, I think, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible makes us to understand that the works of God does what? Maybe it's 120 or 320, just check. That the works of God actually witness to us. The things we see witness to us about God. So that man has no word, no excuse. So within everyone, God has placed, that's why God has put conscience there. So we are without excuse, every one of us. Okay. Is it Romans 1:20? Does somebody want to read? What does it say?
For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without
excuse. Praise the Lord. So please, if you have any other question, you raise it.
Also Luke 12:48.
Okay, Luke 12:48. Somebody wants to look at that? Yeah. Yep. Luke 12:48. Let's go and remind ourselves again. That is why we must not struggle against the word. There's no excuse. 12:48. It says, but he who did not know and did things worthy of a beating shall be beaten with few lashes. So in other words, they are not excused. They will still get a few lashes. For everyone to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And of him to whom men entrust much, they will require and demand all the more. So that is why when we share the word of God, it's good that we take it seriously. The fact that you have heard it this morning means you have no, in fact, doubly have no excuse. So apart from the works of God that preach God to you in your life, I mean, apart from his works that you see that preach God to you, that gives you no excuse, now you have heard the word life and direct. So doubly no excuse. Can somebody say doubly no excuse? Okay, praise the Lord. God will help us. He will give us the grace to live in obedience to his word. In Jesus' name. Can we just rise up and pray? And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. The entrance of your word giveth life. It gives understanding even unto the simple. We are simple. But Lord, your word has entered into us. We have a different understanding. Not worldly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. We pray, O Lord, that your word will not stand against us on the day of judgment. But Father, we will live in obedience to you. And Lord, we will live a life of approval in the mighty name of Jesus. not approved of men, but approved of you. Because you say, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will teach us, instruct us, and remind us of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.